bit off-roading. You know, that's getting away from, you know, every once in a while, from people you know about, like Peter or Paul or Moses or David, people that you hear about a lot. Okay, but what about these other fellows? Every once in a while, I think we ought to look at them. Amen? See what the Bible says. Here we go. Here's one today, one of my favorites, Amos. Say Amos with me. Amos ain't famous. It's funny how cookies can be famous, but Amos ain't famous. Amos is in the Bible, wrote his own book. Amos, say it with me, he was a what? He was a fig-picking preacher. Now, if y'all want to learn, you're going to have to engage with me a little bit. That's how we do it here. If you're new for the first time, we use this big screen and you'll live. You'll be fine. You're going to learn. When you leave, you're going to go, my gosh, I learned something. Okay? That's the plan here, not to put you asleep. And this is a book that would normally put you to sleep. A little book over in the Old Testament, the book of Amos. Let's look at it. Check out some background. Several nations are prophesied about in the little book of Amos. Several nations. But I don't have all day. We want to focus on the main one. We want to focus on who? On Israel. But we're not talking about Israel a lot. We're going to try to get it down back to us a little bit. Here we go. The time frame was about 800 years before Jesus was born. This is a prophecy. It took place a long time before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Israel was under the reign of King Jeroboam II. You might say, I don't need to know this. Well, just hang in there and listen, would you? Come on. He was a very able king, very successful, but he was what? Idolatrous, which is evil. Now, Israel prospered under his leadership. No doubt about it. Israel became very powerful under his leadership. Now, with prosperity and power usually comes another P. What's that P? Pride. You're right. The son of Jehoash, or Joash, and the 13th king of Israel. Okay? Jeroboam's father opened the way to a prosperous reign by his recovery of the territory which had been lost to Syria under Jehoash. Jeroboam resolved to carry this program even farther and extend the northern kingdom to Hamath. You might not know some of this stuff, but some of this is repeated in the scriptures a little bit. The boundary of Solomon's empire. So this guy came on the stage, and he helped just revitalize the northern kingdom. And he took it as far as Solomon used to have it. That's incredible. Can you imagine how excited the people would have been? It's insane. The revenue which poured into Samaria from these tributaries brought Israel to a period of prosperity unknown since when? Solomon. So they were flying what? Now, Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, whereas Jerusalem was the capital of the southern kingdom of Israel. And quite frankly, they weren't doing as well financially, prospering as well, but this northern kingdom was off the charts. Things were going great. Was the guy a good godly king, yes or no? No, he's an idolatrous king. Was he gifted? Sure he was. A leader? Absolutely. Now let's give you some background. Now that's a little background on the situation with Israel at the time. Now let's look at some background on Amos. Who in the world is Amos? And why ain't he famous? Come on. Some background on Amos. You're going to see in this little book, Amaziah. Say Amaziah with me. Amaziah. He's the priest. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. He ain't a good guy. When you read this little book, Amaziah ain't a good guy. Even though he's a what? He's a priest. So Amaziah the priest, in this little book, he points the finger at Amos the prophet. So you got a priest and a prophet that's going to be going at it. That's why I like this little book. And when you have a big shot priest going at it with a country, say it with me, fig picking what? I'm telling you something. You gotta fight. So are you ready to rumble with the book of Amos this morning? Say, a little off-roading. Maybe what we can learn today. So you know a background a little bit on the country, what the country's like at the time, the kingdom. And you know there's a fight. Is Israel doing right? Is the northern kingdom doing right? Yes or no? No, they're prosperous. They have power, but they're full of what? Pride. And they've got an idolatrous king who's worshiping idols and not the true God. So you can imagine what Amos is going to have to say about it, the prophet of God. But let's check out this guy. That Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, he sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, listen, he sent this to the king. Amos has conspired against you, king, in the midst of the house of Israel. Was the king a very powerful man? Would you want a letter getting sent about you like this to the king? Yes or no? The land is not able to bear his words. It's the priest talking. For thus Amos says, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Can you imagine what a prophet would look like if he was saying that kind of mess when they're riding high, when the king is all high and mighty, when their borders are extended further than they've ever been extended before? Can you imagine what a crazy man he would look like if he's prophesying such a thing? Say. And Amaziah, the priest, knows it. He's chosen sides. Whose sides he's on? He's on the idolatrous king's side. Y'all listening, yes or no? He probably doing fat and happy himself too, don't you imagine? Say. Oh yeah. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee you away into the land of Judah, and there you eat your bread. You get out of this northern territory. We're prosperous. We're better off. You go on back down that southern territory where they're not so hot like we are up here. Y'all hearing me? Yes or no? But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? It's the king's court. Who's it sound like they're worshiping in the north? Somebody tell me, the who? The king. You think that's going to fly with God? Say. That's why this little book's in here. Amos, a fig-picking preacher. Why do we call him a fig-picking preacher? Let's keep looking. Help me now. So what does Amaziah do? He tells on Amos, and then for our simple knowledge of our heads this morning, he tells off Amos. He tells on Amos, and he tells off Amos. This is the king's chapel. This is the king's court. Are y'all going to sleep yet? It's pretty interesting stuff. Well, how's the fig-picking preacher going to take it? He going to take it lying down? Is he going to roll over? This is the high and mighty priest. Can't get any higher than this dude. So Amos fires back. Say that with me. Amos. One more time, Amos. Come on. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah. Now we learn about this guy if you'll listen. I was no prophet. Neither was I the son of a prophet. But I was a herdman. Say it with me. I was a gatherer of figs. Brother, this ain't even what I do. My daddy didn't do it. My granddaddy didn't do it. What I do is pick figs. All right? So he sets him straight right on that one. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go and prophesy unto my people Israel. You hear who's talking to me? God's talking to me. Can you see Amos getting a little all? Oh, yeah. You just don't mess with a farm boy like this off the farm who was happy with what he was doing. I think of Pastor Lindo. Pastor Lindo, you were happy being a farm boy, weren't you? God called him pastor many years. He was happy. But when you get called and you know it's the call of God to leave something that you love doing, I tell you, don't mess with people like that. Because they're doing it to follow God. You're listening to me. That's what this man's doing. Now therefore, here's Amos talking. Hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife
shall be a harlot in the city. Your sons and your daughters will fall by the sword. Your land shall be divided by line. And you shall die in a polluted land. And Israel shall surely go into captivity forth out of this land. Did it sound like the priest scared out Amos? Or you think Amos fired back and he dug in? So Amaziah says, you get out of here. Don't you be saying this about the king. Don't you be saying this about us. Yeah, okay? He's talking about the kingdom and what's going to happen. You know what Amos says? Let's look at it. First of all, he says, I didn't ask for this job. He said, I was a fig-picking preacher. I was doing fine picking figs. I like figs. You say, shut my mouth about Israel? Fine. Let's talk about you. You, let's talk about you. You, we'll talk about you. So that's what he does. Amos says, your wife, Mr. Priest, is going to be as a harlot. Your sons are going to fall by the sword. Your land's going to be divided by line. And you're going to die in a polluted country. Thus says the Lord. This is for you, Mr. Priest. What are you thinking about this fellow say? Was this a powerful priest he was talking to? Absolutely. Was this a priest who had communication with the king? Is this a priest who had the king's back? Is this the king? Is this the priest that kept the king's idolatrous mess going on for him? Yes or no? Absolutely. And also, as he's saying this, he's also giving a bleak picture of Israel going to be judged, okay? And we're going to try to go now with it, and we're going to see what we can learn about his prophecy and how that can maybe relate to us. Let's look at why Israel would be judged. Look at it. What were the major problems? Keep looking. Pride. We've already discussed that. Yes or no? Pride. Look at Amos 6. We're going to stay in Amos 6 now. We're going to try to get done in 10 minutes just in Amos 6. We're going to look at Amos chapter 6. If you have a chance later, go back to Amos 6. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, at ease, that trust in the mountain of Samaria, the northern part that's so well off and so prosperous, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass you unto Calneh and see, and from thence go you to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? They thought they were untouchable. They were chief among the nations. They were chosen of God. You know what I'm saying? When you're full of yourself and also think you're chosen of God, then you really got a problem. Amen. Yes or no? They needed their memory what? Jogged! And he mentioned these places, Calneh, Hamath, and Gath, were all what? Destroyed in the past. He calls them to memory. Amos does. And he says, these were bigger, and they were badder than you. And they went down, and you're going down. How would you like his job? I think Amos would have been far happier out picking figs, don't you, than picking a fight here. Why would Israel be judged? Number two, say it with me. Number one was what? Number two, and you'll get judged for that, and I'll get judged for that. And we'll do our own selves in when we're that way, guys. Number two, say that word with me. Presumption. We're in Amos 6, verse 3. Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. Evil day. The day of reckoning. Judgment day. They were guilty of that. I can worship false gods. I can be full of myself. I can be a priest who sells out God for the king's table. I'll eat, I'll drink, I'll be merry. And you put off that day of judgment. That day of reckoning. I love scriptures like this, don't you? If we confess our sin, he's what? Faithful and what? just to forgive our what? And to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. See, God's willing. God's even at the door. He knocks at our door. He wants us to be people that communicate with Him about our sin, that ask forgiveness, that won't change in our life. You understand? So He's willing. He gave His Son so we could do that. He's given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. He's given us the Word of God so we can learn and grow. But one thing God's not going to tolerate is, number one, pride, because God's big on God. He ain't big on you and He ain't big on me. He's big on Him. But number two is presumption. When everything's been done for you and done for me through His Son, and yet we don't deal with it, that's a big problem with God. You understand? Yes or no? That'd be different if He hadn't dealt with it for you. It'd be different if He didn't give you the Word. It'd be different if He hadn't given you His Son. It'd be different if He said, you know, if you do bad, I'll just blast you to hell. He doesn't say that. He says, no, I'll forgive you. But when you and I choose not to believe in Him, without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. And so what's His recourse? Judgment. So that's the way they were living. Out of sight, out of mind. I'm happy. Look at us up here in the north, man. We're doing good up in Samaria. Look at us. Woo! We're as strong and big, as bad as the days of Solomon. You cause the seed of violence to come near. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone? That we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit. Boy, these people just become crooked as the day is long. Y'all seeing that, yes or no? That we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of what? As they're getting wealthier and wealthier and wealthier, they're trading in the souls of men. They're buying people for silver or for a pair of shoes. At the whole time saying, look how great we are, and we're chosen. Yea, and you sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will, say it with me, never forget any of their works. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be what? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He reveals His secret unto His servants, the what? Verse 8 is a good verse for us to remember in our life. The lion has roared. What do we call Jesus? He's the Lion of the tribe of what? Yeah. The Lion has what? Roared! And you won't fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Amos says, who can but speak what God has told me? Can you see Amaziah the priest turning white, yes or no? Why would Israel be judged? Pride, presumption, that they won't be judged. But God says, wait a minute, hold the phone. The lion has what? Roared. Number three, why would they be judged? Pleasure. Pleasure. That lie upon beds of ivory. They stretch themselves upon their couches. Now remember, they're buying people for a pair of what? And for silver. And they're falsifying their balances and all that stuff while they sit over here and they lie on their beds of what? And they stretch themselves upon their couches and they eat the lambs out of the flock. They're eating offerings that should go to God. They're having the best food.
and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the violin, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. They just sit around and, oh, it's all good, look at us. That drink wine in bowls. I mean, come on. That's some serious drinking going on. They anoint themselves with the cheap ointments, the fanciest of, oh, no, that's not good anymore. No more Chanel, come on. But they are not grieved for the affliction of who? They're not grieved for the southern kingdom. They're not grieved for those that are struggling down in Judah. And matter of fact, they're bragging about how good they got it. Are y'all listening to the message? Pleasure, extravagant in their stuff. What can we learn here? Extravagant in their stuff. They were lazy. They're extravagant in their meals. They love to party and get wasted. They had no concern for who. See, here's the point. This was written to Israel. Do you think God's saying the same kind of thing to you, to me today in the house? Sure He is, guys. And you know what? I see myself guilty all over this page. And then we have this bounty, and so often we're not even what? Thankful. How long will God put up with us? Amen? Say. How long will God put up with America? Has the lion roared? It's the Bible. Why would Israel be judged? So pride, presumption, pleasure, and the last one is what? Ooh. Verse 7, now therefore shall they go captive with the first that shall go captive, and the banquet of them that shall stretch themselves shall be removed. They're coming to get the table and the tablecloth. Those who live in luxury are going to lose their liberty. Those who trusted in the land and not the Lord are going to be carried what? Away. Those who thrived on pleasure will be what? Deprived of even the smallest pleasure. Say it with me. The what? The party's over. Those who are lazy are going to do what now? Maybe make some brick. Things like that. Those who put the evil day way off are going to find it's what? They will go into captivity first. What's the Bible say? Did it happen? 2 Kings 17. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until He had cast them out of His sight. For He rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from the following of the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of His sight, as He said by His servants, the prophets. One of them's name was what? Amos. So Israel was carried away out of their own land to Assyria. And when this was written, unto this day. Wow. What we got left, Raj? What we learn? Besides, don't mess with a fig-picking preacher. We learned that right there, didn't we say? Come on. I'll be honest with you, some of the best preachers I've ever heard in my life are from the South. How many ever heard this man, Oliver B. Green? Few of us in the house. Woo! Man, that guy could pluck the corn right there, I'm telling you. Pick the cotton and pluck the corn. It was craziness. All right? Some great, great old Southern good times in the past. I tell you what, don't mess with them. They sounded mad all the time to me. Growing up as a boy in the South. Listen, what did we learn today? Here's what we learned real fast. What did I learn today? Minimize pride. Say that with me. Minimize pride. One more time. Minimize pride. Get that pride thing, and you get that thing, and you just keep pushing that thing on down here, okay? You put that thing on down here. Minimize pride. That's what I learned. Number two, don't presume on the what? This is the only day we have. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient is the evil today. Okay? You that say, James says, I'm going to go to a city, I'm going to buy and sell, I'm going to get gain, I'm going to do this and that.
He said, don't say that. Your life's a vapor. It appears for a little time. It vanishes away. When you do that, when you presume on that, it's sin. So we learn that from this prophet. Number three, life's more than a what? Life's more than a party. Life's more than getting this thing and that thing. And you know, and I think living in America, many of us struggle with that because the opportunities here in this great country are so vast. Amen? Life's more than a party. People matter more than the party. And the last thing we learned today is avoid what? Can we say that? Avoid what? Okay, we've got some in the room that's been in prison. Okay, if you want to talk to them after the service, they can tell you, avoid this place. Avoid prison. No, the Lord never forgets our sins. He never forgets our sins. He never forgets our sins. Ooh. Unless we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He never forgets our sins. Unless we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Got another scripture? Is that it? Great. But God commended His love toward us. Say it with me if you know it. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet, Christ died for scarcely would a righteous man, would one die for a righteous man. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died for the unrighteous, for the ungodly, so that we could be saved. Amen? I'm telling you, church, it's not going to fly. We're not going to get to heaven one day, stand before God and say, hey, I was a good person. You know what He's going to say? He's going to say, you're full of yourself. That's what you were. Okay? And He's going to look at us and going to say, you thought this day would never come, but it's here now. He's going to look at us and say, you live for yourself. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. Is that what the Bible says? Yes or no? Amen. Let's learn from Amos today. Can we learn, church? Can you get it in your noggin today and receive the message from the prophet today? Come on. I do not want to be Amaziah. Do you say? No, no, no. Come on. Let's thank God for His Word, the Old Testament this morning. Just a scripture this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for people like this. Amen. Let's stand on up. Let's stand on up.